Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, hello everybody. Live from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. We got a great doubleheader today. Bob Estes, a pharmaceutical CBD expert, he's a serial entrepreneur, and he is the CEO of PerOs Biosciences, the dietary supplement manufacturer. He'll be joining me. Then my son, Adam Weil, he's the CEO of Global School Wear, School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, will be joining me. Then it's the Sports Doctors In, some emails, upcoming shows. First, I want to welcome Bob Estes to the Sports Doctor. Bob, welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Great. Give us a little bit of background on yourself and your company, your relationship with CBD.
Sure. I was in the pharmaceutical industry for a lot of years. I mean, 25 plus years, different pharmaceutical companies. And then 10 years ago, I bought it was a candy company that I converted into a dietary supplement manufacturer because they had a technology that we've since patented for making functional chewing gum. And the difference with functional chewing gum versus confectionery style chewing gum. Confectionery style gum is like what Wrigley's is. It's tastes sweet, has some flavor, you chew it, but there's no active ingredients in it. So we specialize in making functional gum which has active ingredients. Like we made caffeine gum for the US military in their ration kits. And 7 years ago, we started down the CBD trail and put CBD into our chewing gum. We also make that chewable tablets and mints. Like for chewable tablets, if anybody's ever tried the Airborne chewable tablet, we created those for Airborne and made them here. But on the chewing gum is what we really specialize in. So
yeah, the idea, Bob, of being able to have, like you said, functional, whether, again, in the world of supplements, and the other types of additives that could be used in something as simple, quote-unquote, as chewing gum sounds really almost revolutionary. And, you know, again, your background in the pharmacy world, I think, is a big deal when we're talking about CBD and that whole different world where we're talking about somebody who's got that kind of experience because the reliability, the quality, all of these things regarding CBD, which is a very exciting area, is, you know, still questionable.
Well, absolutely. One of the big issues in the industry is the quality of the products. CBD is generating a lot of buzz, and what it's doing is attracting a lot of, you know, manufacturers or people that are coming in to try to make a few dollars just because of the demand that's out there. But they're not making the products the correct way. Like we have a GMP, which is a good manufacturing practices facility, that is in compliance with all FDA regulations. So we make it the right way. We test everything. We get a certificate of analysis for everything we make to show that the CBD is there. A lot of CBD products don't have the CBD in them that they claim. So that's why
big concern. That's a big concern, of course, for everybody out there. CBD is the non-get-high hemp that has many of the qualities of medical marijuana and marijuana in the health area, whether it's pain management, whether it's better sleep, anti-anxiety, all things that everybody are very, very, of course, in the sports medicine world is of tremendous interest because it does not have the THC or the get high aspect to it. But like you're mentioning, the ability of being able to depend on is what's in it, really in it. You know, what are the different questions about that I think is very, very important. I want to ask you more about that. Everybody listening to The Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. You can go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can go over to radio shows. You can go back over 10 years and check out who the guests were, what the topics were. More than 10 years ago, we got to get on the reel-to-reel areas of some of the old radio shows. You can go over to newspaper articles and magazines. You can read an endless array of topics on everything, whether your son or daughter should be specializing, what's the best shoe. One of my most popular articles is Women in High Heels. And, again, we have over 30,000 followers on Twitter. We have a lot of important information regarding sports medicine, fitness, wellness at Sports Doc Radio. We're talking with Bob Espey. He's the CEO of Puros Biosciences. The ability of being able to add functional ingredients to something as, again, as usable as something like chewing gum, talking about the CBD. As a pharmacist, what are some of the things that excite you, Bob, that got you to include CBD in your products?
Oh, sure. Well, so let me just clarify something. I'm not a pharmacist. I ran pharmaceutical plants.
Okay.
In the pharmaceutical plant. but yeah, ask a question again, Doc.
Well, the fact that you have that pharmaceutical background,
right,
and the fact that you're involved with supplements, which is to what had attracted you to paying attention to CBD. How many years ago were you first looking at that?
Well, we started with it in 2012, but when it was...
You were ahead of the curve.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we were always looking for new and innovative products, and, you know, I came across it, and we started putting it into our chewing gum. We also have CBD mints, too. And the benefit of a functional chewing gum, whether it's CBD or caffeine or any other of the herbals that we put in, is the delivery through the oral mucosa, through the buccal and sublingual mucosa, because it gets in very quickly, but it's also got a high bioavailability, which means that the compound, in this case CBD, is used by the body. If you ingest, swallow CBD or any cannabinoid THC in a soft gel capsule, a beverage, a gummy, the studies show, and these are clinical studies, that less than 10% of the CBD is available, is bioavailable to use. So ours is a better, more efficient delivery of CBD because you got to get the CBD in for it to work.
What's the best website, Bob, people could find out you, your company, and your products?
It's the www, and it's MedCBDX, MedCBDX.com.
You know, the fact you mentioned right off the top, caffeine in, like, chewing gum for the armed forces, you know, what a great idea that is. How long has that capability been around? Were you the first guys to do that?
We were the first ones to do it, and you know, when Iraq and Afghanistan were going real big, we were selling a lot of it to the military because, again, soldiers have to stay awake. I mean, they were staying awake,
yes,
30, 40 hours, but and they're not carrying around coffee or drinks, and you know, again, if you have a 40-pound pack, you want something that's going to work that doesn't weigh very much, and that's what the chewing gum does.
You know, the health and wellness world, sports medicine world, very, very excited about all of these aspects of the CBD products. And again, it seems like you're saying the chewing of the gum and having the oral mucosa, the ability of the body to absorb a lot more efficiently, you know, really, really makes a lot of sense. Again, as people are, you know, trying to figure out who to trust and who not to trust, because I think, you know, we're seeing CBD in everything but shoe polish, you know, it seems.
Oh, yeah.
In our culture. And then it becomes a real educational challenge. And it seems like you guys are one of the leaders in that kind of paying attention.
Well, I've seen over the years the education of the consumer just exponentially improve. I mean, originally everybody thought, Am I going to get high? And then most people don't ask that question anymore because, again, there's no THC. It's not from marijuana. This is from hemp. And so you're not going to get high from CBD that's made the right way. And then once they try the products and they get the benefit, CBD is a tremendous anti-inflammatory, in addition to the anti-anxiety that you mentioned before. Like in my case, I'm 63 years old now. I played college basketball, you know, a long time ago and just played for a lot of years and beat my body up.
Where'd you play?
I played at Colgate University.
All right, really? So, good school.
Yeah. And then, and then the arthritis kicked in after I stopped playing. I had a lot of pain in all my joints. And then I started chewing one piece of our CBD gum every day, and I have for the 7 years. And my arthritis just disappeared, stopped, and to the point where I have flexibility in my joints. I don't have any pain anymore. And it sounds too good to be true, but that's what CBD does.
Yes, and this is, again, the fact that it's safe, the fact that there aren't any side effects. Again, in sports medicine, one of my real passions on the sports doctor, of course, is youth sports. One of the chapters in my book, #HeySportsParents, is youth sports and drugs, where you got half these kids living on over-the-counter pain medicine, anti-inflammatories. So the fact that there could be a natural, safe, anti-inflammatory is a very, very big deal. And I think you would agree from your perspective, for the most part, there are no side effects. It might not help everybody. It might not be the same help like you're talking about. But the fact that there's no side effects in a society like ours, Bob, you know, the United States is one of only two countries in the world, New Zealand's the other, that ad nauseum advertises prescription drugs on TV and painkillers. It doesn't stop. And the fact that there's something like this, to me, again, is a very, very big deal. Hadn't never thought really about the chewing gum side of it. And who knows how many athletes are walking around chewing your chewing gum in between innings, man.
Well,
you know?
I hope so. I hope so. And even like we also have CBD that's combined with caffeine in the chewing gum because what studies have shown is caffeine delivered before exercise or athletic events improves the athletic performance. And so we used to make a product called Run Gum, which we developed with an Olympic runner who he would chew it, you know, 10 minutes before he raced, and his score, his, you know, times improved significantly. So caffeine helps athletic performance. And then on the flip side, the CBD helps with the recovery.
And again, we can't stress enough what a big deal this is. In the world of sports today, whether it's professional or youth sports, it's overkill times 20. There's so much pressure, both physically and mentally. Again, and anything that could naturally be of help becomes, you know, very, very exciting in that particular case where we're talking about the epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries, which is the case both mentally and physically, or the highly competitive high school, college, and professional athletes, which even caused me over the years, Bob, to rename performance-enhancing drugs. Are you ready?
Yep.
It's performance surviving, where we're talking about, and nobody has to explain to us the nightmare of pain pills and prescription pain pills in the United States with the opioids. And again, the fact that something naturally can really make a difference. Quickly, before we run out of time, what are some of the other ingredients that you add to some of your chewables and lozenges and chewing gums?
We do a lot of caffeines. We put caffeine and theanine. Theanine is a green tea extract that has a significant calming property. And the combination of caffeine and theanine and CBD and theanine, and CBD and caffeine will work the same way. It helps with focus, almost like an ADHD type of compound where it helps with the focus. So we've done that. We actually have products that we've developed, again, with some partners for hot flashes for, you know, women's health. with herbal extracts. We've created a number of different interesting products. We have one that has peroxide in it, which is for teeth whitening. And we're waiting for FDA to allow us to label that as a cosmetic and not as a food product. So we've done a lot of different things.
Do you see, Bob, the FDA in any way, shape, or form, or other kinds of controlling situations in the CBD world? You think that some sort of regulatory stuff is going to be necessary because of the chaos with it being everywhere?
Well, I guess the smart money and the people that know a lot more about this than I do are saying that FDA wants to regulate, but they're not going to be allowed to regulate like a drug. Mitch McConnell in the state of Kentucky, and Kentucky is one of the biggest growers of hemp, has essentially pushed FDA to come out with guidance that says they will not enforce CBD as a narcotic or a drug or a controlled substance. What they will enforce is it has to be made right, GMP, and you cannot make any claims. So we can't say,
Right, that's the supplement world. Even the herbal world is that way, right? You can't make any medical claims. You can't talk about any conditions. But the fact that you can depend on the quality, I think some of the major supplement companies over the years, like you mentioned, your testing, your quality reaches, the kind of drug level, really, which is dependable, it's consistent, and that's great to hear that that's going to be included. One of my colleagues, Paul Dagnino, with iCor, another prominent from grower to creator of various CBD products, talks a lot about some of these different testing facilities that people want to be able to depend on. Because like you said, it's an important point. Not everything in this day and age that says CBD on it can be assumed that not only it's what it's supposed to be, but that's the percentage or the actual amount. Terrific information, Bob. Give me quickly again the website. People could find out more about you and Peros Bioscience.
Sure. It's www.medcbdx.com.
Great. Bob, hold on real quickly. Bob Esty, thank you so much, CEO of Peros Biosciences. Hope to have you back. Everybody, we'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor.
Thank you.
Hold on, Bob. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody. We are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. I'm excited to have my son, Adam, on the show with me. Adam is the CEO of Global Schoolwear, School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. Adam's had probably almost 20 years, give or take a few weeks, of experience in the school uniform world. And the last time I think he was on the radio with me, he was 4.5 years old with Bob Guida and Eric Sadahome, maybe Gary Fensick. Hey, Adam, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks, Dad. That's correct. I think I was 4. It was over the holidays.
I think I still have the tape. I think I still have the tape. Adam, give us some background on you and the world of school uniforms.
So I've been working in school uniforms, 15-plus years. Probably closer to 20 now. I started in a camp and school business years ago, where kids went to summer camp and then in school uniform where kids wear uniforms. And at that time, school uniform has really trended up over the years here as an opportunity for kids from a socioeconomic perspective where they don't have to worry about, I always say worry about what you're learning, not what you're wearing. And, in a lot of ways, school uniforms can even the playing field where kids don't have to worry about what someone else is wearing or parents don't have to worry about getting the kids, the next thing that's out or not being able to afford those things for those kids when they go to school. So school uniform makes a lot of sense, for all those reasons. And I've been doing it, for a long time. I started it. We took it to an online version. I think I was the first person to do that. And then went after that, I was in a company in Chicago. I went and ran the school uniform division at Lands' End for a number of years and then left there and have started this. Been doing this about 3 years, and we've got 500 or so schools now whose uniform we're responsible for.
It's a interesting point you brought up, which was one of the points I've talked to you about as long as you've been in this world, again, which is this the fact of peer groups and the fact of competition and worrying about who's wearing what. Everybody's very familiar with whether it's bullying that's going on in schools and some of these different concerns and problems. And a lot of people don't realize that keeping up with the Joneses is one of the things that really, really makes sense. What's been new and exciting with you guys is that you've brought on the popular brand with Tommy Hilfiger. Talk a little bit about that connection.
Sure. When I went and started this a few years ago, over the years I developed, I think, a pretty solid reputation within the business and partnered with a bigger company at that time in New York. And there was an opportunity to sort of look at the stable of brands that they've worked with and then together come up with what brand that we thought we could approach and partner with, that would make a lot of sense. And the reason I really love Tommy Hilfiger, first of all, I'm a big brand fan. And secondly, in this space of school uniforms, Lands' End, great brand, but a brand that parents are really familiar with. Tommy Hilfiger coming into the space, in my mind, is the first time it's a brand that both, parents and administrators love, but kids love and want to wear too.
I think that's a big deal.
Yeah.
The fact that you put some pizzazz, some excitement into the world of school uniforms, I think is something that really is new, to the industry. And talk a little bit about your partner and associate with Global.
Well, when the opportunity came to go from running something like this to owning something like this, my Rupesh Agarwal, who's got is my partner, has been tremendous reputations in the space of e-commerce. And the thing that you have to think about is that there's two ways that school uniform works out there in the world today. One is that folks go into retail locations and they try the stuff on. That retail location could be in a strip mall somewhere. It could be a nicer location, but they have to drive there to get their uniform. In my mind over the years, more and more people buy online. I think 98% of people have bought something online. So the idea that you're going to buy it, but you got to be able to order it and understand what you do or you don't need from a school uniform perspective means that you have to have a really great website and a really great experience that represents both the school and then the knowledge for those parents on the site of what they do and, quite frankly, don't need to buy. And Rupesh, my partner, has a lot of experience in web development in exactly that sort of arena. So by getting together with him, it was kind of the best of both worlds, you know, kind of the experience that I have within the school uniform space and the experience that he has from an e-commerce perspective. Putting those together, I think, has put us, you know, at the forefront of innovation as far as school uniforms concerned right now.
Yes, and I think that the private school world, you know, I'm curious as to, you know, what percentage, it seems that private schools, you know, religious type schools have been, you know, the innovators in a lot of ways with the school uniforms. Is there any activity going on in the public school world? Do you think that connection will ever be made?
It has been made. You'd probably be surprised, you know, certain cities like New Orleans, which has faced a lot of economic challenges over the years, they have more public schools in uniforms than other cities. And public schools look at it, you know, they're not as big on having a logoed wear. So just stepping back, generally the schools that we're in business with, when someone goes and orders a school uniform, whether it be a polo or a sweater and a pair of pants, about 70% of what they order from us needs to be embellished by either a embroidered logo or a kind of a heat stamp logo like you might see on a PE t-shirt or a pair of shorts, or that you might award that, you know, when you were in school, that emblazoned like your school's name on it. So, you know, from our perspective, somebody places an order on the website, it comes straight to us. We take a blank piece off of our shelf, then we, you know, pair that up with the logo that represents their school prior to shipping it out. From a public school perspective, they'll generally have a dress code. So they'll say, hey, we want people in navy red and white polos and khaki pants, and then they'll, you know, have multiple vendors that they can choose from. But it is a big movement, and school uniforms are really interesting because, you know, it's more and more popular across the country, more and more schools going to it. And going back to your first point you were talking about, we talked about, like, bullying and those kinds of things. School uniform certainly isn't the answer to all of that, right? But it is an answer to part
helpful.
Of it.
Helpful. Helpful with a capital H.
Yeah, but it's part of it, right? And any chance,
yes,
that, you know, to take that pressure off of a kid, they can concentrate on, you know, how hard it is these days to learn, you know, and excel in school, then it's nice to be a part of that.
What's the website, Adam? People could find out all about uniforms products and what to do and where.
So the website is www.globalschoolwear.com, G-L-O-B-A-L, schoolwear, S-C-H-O-O-L-W-E-A-R.com, www.globalschoolwear.com. That's where most of our schools will go, but there is certainly an About Us section there where you can learn about the program and, you know, what we're doing for our schools.
I know you guys opened a distribution center here in Downers Grove, Illinois. Your brother-in-law, Shad Martin, really been so involved in getting that up and running. I remember I first went over to see it in the spring, man. It was like an empty warehouse. Talk a little bit about that distribution center that you guys have put together.
Yeah, so Shad is my brother-in-law, also tremendously experienced in the space that we have. Him and I have been working together for a long time. Just a tremendous amount of respect for the amount of knowledge he has and is able to bring to the table. And Shad, you know, was able to, you know, in 4.5 months, you know, put together from the ground floor, find a warehouse, outfit that warehouse, receive the product for that warehouse, you know, get our program, which would then take those orders and tell you where to pick the stuff that was associated to them, hire the right people, and create a space that is really, really innovative in order to support the orders that we get. So nothing short of amazing what was done in a short amount of time by Shad and his team. And that warehouse is really the heart of what we do. So, you know, you go and get the tools.
Heck, you even attracted one of your old Montessori lifelong friends, Gabe Nelson, come in from Idaho, really get involved and help you guys out. Everybody, you're listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can go over to radio shows. You can go back over 10 years and see what the topics were, who the guests were from all over the world. Listen to whatever you would like. In order for me to dig up the show that Adam was first on, I got to go to Reel to Reel, maybe, at College of DuPage to find it. But lots of great shows, over 1,000 shows, believe it or not. Again, you can go over to newspaper articles and magazines. You could read all my recent guest editorials for Lower Extremity Review, one of our other sponsors. And you can read one of my most notorious articles, Women in High Heels, Accepting the Challenge. We have over 30,000 followers on Twitter. We have all sorts of sports medicine, fitness, wellness topics. You go to @sportsdoc, DOC Radio. I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter. I'm talking to my son, Adam Weil. He is the CEO of Global Schoolwear, School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. And we're talking about that excitement. I know you guys are involved in some way, shape, or form with Amazon, Adam. What's that connection?
Yeah, so there's two ways that we really look to sell uniforms. One is directly to the schools, where we contract with those schools, and they go online. But the second is for, you asked about public schools or those folks that are associated to a school uniform program of some type for their school, maybe doesn't have a dedicated vendor. Then we have a partnership with Amazon where we are on Amazon as you can buy our product through, School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. So Tommy Hilfiger School Uniform on Amazon, that's our product. We partner with them. We put our stuff online with them, and that's a growing business for us. That's a really exciting opportunity for us as well.
You know, again, that connection with kids in school who might be, with school uniforms, there's a lot of great reasons. Hey, you mean there's a world-class brand behind this in different, whether it's the blazers or the different parts of the uniform? I would think the excitement of the kids and the students has to be something that's, been out front and personal, I would think.
Well, here's how I would put it. I think if it was up to just the kids, I'm not sure anybody would be in uniform, right? At least for the initial decision. But it's the decision of the administrators, and then the fact that the kids say, wait a minute, I got to be in uniform, but it's going to be Tommy Hilfiger. That's exciting.
That's what I mean. Right.
So it's I think the kids, they'd probably rather be wearing a T-shirt with their favorite band on it and jeans maybe. But, there's so many reasons that we discussed earlier about performance in children, when they're in uniform. There's just a lot of really good information out there that I think that if you can satisfy the fact that administrations really like it, but when you speak to them, they say, but I don't know if I can get the parents on board, and I don't know if I can get the kids on board, or Tommy Hilfiger being in partnership with them solves a lot of that, right? So it's I think our uniforms, it's not trendy, but trend right. It's important that it's not, over the top, but we've got, really, really great fabrics, really, really great silhouettes of product.
And I want to talk to you more about that. I'm going to talk to you more about the particular items. I want to talk about some of the parents' feedback in the next segment. Everybody, we'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Hey, Adam, how'd you like that commercial leading up to you?
I think it sounded great.
I tell you, man.
Really, really excited.
How is that? Are you impressed? Are you impressed with the timing?
Yeah.
I wanted to follow up on what we were talking about Number one, what are some of the different items that are people can choose, schools can choose in the world of school uniforms?
It's a good question. So, you know, we do, obviously we do different kind of, we call them knits, but polo shirts, right? So we have three different fabrics of polo shirts. And I think the trend that we've been working with is performance, right? So like wicking, moisture wicking, kids really love that. You know, we do that in our polos. We do that in both shorts and in pants too. We do skirts and skorts and jumpers for girls. We do a variety of sweaters and fleeces. We also play in the physical education world. So we're doing, PE shorts and T-shirts along with different sweatshirts and sweatpants. And, and we also play, a lot of schools, we were just talking about how important brand is. To a lot of the private schools and or charter schools and schools around the country, they might have a particular plaid that they use at that school. That's their brand. In some cases, you might walk to a school and they might say, hey, we've had this plaid for 80 years. So we also have the ability to customize product from a fabric perspective to accommodate a plaid that they've been using for a number of years. But, yeah, we do a lot of different products, and we do them in all sorts of sizes. So we go from toddler, right, so pre-K, where, my four-year-old can wear them, all the way up to, a basketball player, right? So we're doing pants that are up to a length.
Oh, yeah, Griffin. Griffin must look great in his uniform with his orthotics in his shoes. I'll tell you that.
That's right. He wore his orthotics.
I'm telling you, man, he'll be two steps quicker. Tell us a little bit about what's been the feedback. You've been in the business a long time. What are the attitudes about parents, and how has that changed regarding incorporating school uniforms into whatever the school happens to be? How has the parents' feedback been?
Well, it depends. The feedback, it comes in two ways. Either it's feedback when a school's introducing school uniform for the first time, and that feedback is always mixed. So you've always got your parents that are really for it. Maybe they wore one when they were a kid, or they have a child in a different school or a friend with children in the school, the uniform, and they've seen how easy it is. And you also always have parents that they feel from an individuality perspective that school uniforms kind of steps on that. And I find that, that's always going to be something that you deal with on your way into a program. And then we have found that overwhelmingly parents love it once it's instituted. And then, one of the things that has helped us grow the way we've been growing is that our product, not only the brand, which is Tommy Hilfiger, it's the product. So whenever I'm talking about what makes a great school uniform program, if somebody asks me to talk about that in general, not just what I do for our company, I say product, program, and brand. And product and brand are separate. Product is the fact that you can count on it, it's reliable, that it holds up, that it won't shrink, that it won't fade, that it looks good. Brand is Tommy Hilfiger, right? Program is from the time you order it to the time you get it. If you need to return it, is it easy? That's the website where we talked about with Repesh, right? That's the distribution center where we talked about with Shad and Gabe. That's where, there's so many inputs from the teammates here that come together to make that program really work. But when we sit in front of a school and talk about it, those are the things that we talk about. And that's why I think, we're a program to be reckoned with right now.
It's interesting. Hey, we got to get Tommy Hilfiger shoes by the sports doctor. We got to get that incorporated maybe into some of your brands in some way, shape.
Just to turn this thing on its ear really quick, Dad, you mentioned orthotics in my four-year-old Griffin, so because I'm also your son, I can go off topic, I would imagine. So today, he just got orthotics in the last few days that my dad got for him because he's got some pronation, right, Dad, in his feet?
And yes.
Young, and he's got his legs been bothering him. So anyway, today was the first day that he wore his orthotics in his shoes to school, and he came home today and he said, Dad? I ran with all the kids today, and I won.
Wow.
When they were racing in gym, he won, which, let me tell you, he doesn't usually win. So, I'm not saying that they provided, like flash-like speed for him, but he thinks they did, and he feels he's a step quicker, and it gave him a lot of confidence. So in the same way we're talking about school uniform, right, and what that does for children, orthotics did the same thing for Griffin.
Yeah, sometimes we see, along that same lines, when we're talking toddlers, who many times might be complaining, parents might say, my son or daughter wants to be carried all the time. They assume it's normal. And sometimes we'll see that foot mechanics can definitely have, you know, something to do with it. And that's, I don't want to mention it's priceless, but it really, really is where he would have that kind of feedback. He made that comment. I hope you taped it so I could use it for a commercial, man.
I should have taped it, but, you know.
Yeah, have him repeat it when you when you talk to him.
As a CEO of Global School, we can talk about uniform, but I also have had a front row seat for all these years watching how many people you've helped. So, you know, I do it in a different way. But, you know, I've sat there and seen athletes or, you know, not only athletes, but, you know, I've seen people come into your office that, you know, at 100 years old, come in on a weekly basis or biweekly basis, and you trim their nails for them, you know. So you've had an impact on tremendous amounts of people, and I've been fortunate enough to be standing next to you watching.
Well, thanks, Adam. You know, that's really playing and paying it forward, you know. You mentioned early on the ages from toddlers to, are there any, ask the high school, I'm curious, is there any school uniforms in the college world?
No, there is not. Well, not that I know
interesting.
Of. You know, not that,
yes.
But I could tell you that the school uniform business is massive worldwide. It's a multi-billion dollar industry in Australia, in England, in Japan, all over the place, in India. So there is, certainly, it's a worldwide thing where people, you know, the ideas, the things that we're talking about and the impact and the advantages of school uniform is not just in our country. It's really, people see that for children all over the world.
Well, you know, Adam, the Sports Doctors repeated the following week on UK Health Radio. So check, you know, in the future, you might be getting some phone calls and information from the UK who listen to our show, again, on a weekly basis. And again, that's an interesting topic. Again, the school uniforms around the world, and maybe the United States still in some way, shape, or form, you know, even catching up. What's the teacher feedback, by the way, in the world of school uniforms?
Well, you know, here's how it, take teachers and administrators and then the responsibility that we have. So teachers love it, right? If you think about that, they don't have to worry about, you know, the only thing they're worried about is whether or not the folks are wearing what they're supposed to wear and in dress code. We hear all the time about, you know, issues with maybe what some kids are wearing versus what kids aren't wearing, and having to deal with that as a teacher when they're just trying to teach them what they want, you know. But we also hear from teachers and from schools about the fact that in a lot of cases, you asked about young kids up to high school. When you have a new kid in a school and they're going to order uniforms, they generally order the uniforms before they ever show up to the school. So we're the first point of contact for that school. So we have to do, you know, we take very seriously the fact that we represent each one of these schools' brands, right? So from what a school always says, administrators, the best school uniform is one you never really hear about. The kids show up, they look great, nobody's complaining about it, and they're concentrating on things to them that are really important, right? Like their curriculum or, you know, the kids can worry about what they're doing from a sports perspective or learning or making sure that they're working on all the things. Kids have enough to worry about and administrators have enough to worry about that we sort of try to just do what we do.
You know, it's interesting. You know, you have young children. Your friends have young children. It wasn't all that long ago that you were growing up going to school. And I'd ask you, again, how much of a big deal is it, the fact that there's that kind of peer pressure regarding what you're wearing and who's wearing what? A lot of people don't realize until they think about it that taking that kind of pressure off is of great value.
Well, it's not only that, you know, but so it's that for sure. And I would tell you that my 11-year-old Lincoln, your grandson, has a dress code. He doesn't have a choice, right? He has to wear, you know, a polo without a logo and khaki pants to school every day. And he can wear a sweater over it. And if they have like a, you know, they might have a school pride day, but that means you wear stuff that has the school name on it, right? So that's the one part, but there's another part besides just taking the pressure
off. All right,
off.
Adam, really quickly, because I can't believe that we just ran out of time. Give me again the website people could find out all about Global Schoolwear.
So it's www.globalschoolwear.com, GlobalSchoolwear.com.
I'll tell you, you're a great guest, Adam. I'll have to have you back. I want to thank you. Hold on quickly. Everybody, we'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago, we're back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We're going to talk about some upcoming shows. What a great couple of segments. It was so much fun having my son Adam on. So proud of him and what he's done with the whole Tommy Hilfiger and the school uniforms. It was some fun nostalgia. You can email me, drrweil. sportsdoctor@yahoo.com. We always mix them up, and we'd love to include you, drrweil, W-E-I-L, sportsdoctor, written out, at yahoo.com. We got some great shows coming up in the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk a little dentistry next week. Dr. Jim Babiak, oral surgeon, he's going to talk about his tremendous attention to not depend on in this world with opioids, and we'll talk a little bit of wisdom tooth situation. Then I've got Steve Thorson. Steve is the program director at My Club, Edwards Health and Fitness Center. He'll talk about the myriad of programs that are involved in the world of fitness clubs today. Then day before Thanksgiving, Steve Horwitz. Dr. Steve Horowitz, former champion powerlifter, the creator of Team Safe, this tremendous protocol for youth sports, will be returning. And then the originator of the UK Health Radio, Johan Ligenfritz, will be joining me, talking about that great network and some of the shows they have. So great stuff. Coming up, let's see, we've got some emails here. Perry says, tape helps with my plantar fasciitis. Would orthotics help? You know, Perry, almost without question they would, especially if they're done properly. Plantar fasciitis is the most common thing we see. It's the inflammation, soreness in the arch and the heel, and often support of the foot is key. When we're taping somebody, we're trying to initiate that kind of control of the stretching, excessive motion, and that many times is one of the criteria to show us that if the taping helped, orthotics probably really would to reduce the stress and strain on the plantar fascia, which is the tendon-like tissue, which is on the bottom of the foot, attaches the toes to the heel. Charles says, my daughter is a 14-year-old tennis player. She has a wide foot. It seems like she inherited her mother and grandma's bunions. What about New Balance shoes? Well, more than New Balance shoes, Charles, you want to pay attention to the role of orthotics. If your daughter has inherited the big toe dislocation, development of the bump on the inside of the foot, a la bunion deformity, because you can slow down this progressive deformity if you interject with orthotics. By the way, it'll probably give her better balance, make her a better player. New Balance shoes is one of my faves because it's width-sized. So many times in females where we might have a narrow heel, maybe we've got a broad ball of the foot, like what you're talking about, New Balance is definitely one of the brands. But you want to see podiatry. You want to pay attention. Can you prevent surgery with your daughter? And one of our biggest weapons is custom orthotics. Paula says, both my 12-year-old daughters have hammer toes like me, talking about the inherited foot type. I'm 45 years old. I had surgery. What about prevention? Paula, I'll mention to you what we just talked about. Maybe 75% of the time, foot type is inherited. Gee, you know, this kid's got high arches, just like his mother and grandmother. You know, my daughter has that bunion deformity like I did or my parents did. You're talking about the contraction, knuckle toes of hammer toes. Sometimes the problem is the development of hard corns on the top of the toes that can be problematic. So you really want to see podiatry, talk about shoes, talk about orthotics. These are the two main weapons in prevention. If you put pressure on the ball of the foot with your daughter's foot and you press up with your thumb, you'll see you're extending the toes. This is one of the mechanical actions of orthotics to try to stretch those toes. See podiatry. John says, why is there a 5 or 6 to 1 ACL knee injuries, females to males or girls to boys? ACL is the anterior cruciate ligament. It's a major stabilizing ligament in the knee. You can't watch sports without hearing about this particular injury. I believe biomechanics has a lot to do with why there's a lot more. We used to years and years ago think girls weren't as strong. They didn't have the history of sports like boys do and did. This is no longer the case. Girls are every bit the athletes the boys are. They're just as schooled. They're well-trained. The mechanics, wider hips, a different angle down to the knee called the Q angle. This is why, as a sports podiatrist, for decades, half the girls and females I've seen a knee trouble. Pronated, rolled in foot, excessive torque of the knee. There's some hormonal differences, females to males. So I now will tell any parent or coach that has girls as athletes, include orthotics. I don't care if the feet don't hurt. You want to be in proper alignment. And I can count on one hand, I don't want to jinx myself, over the decades, how many non-contact related ACL knee injuries I've seen in girls who had orthotics in their shoes. Next to never. Definitely the combination of good strengthening, physical therapy, proactive strengthening, and orthotics is a big deal. You want to pay attention. If we have more time, Darlene says, my 16-year-old son's a basketball player. He's had some lateral ankle instability. What about taping? What about ankle guards? Both of these are important options, Darlene. You really want to see with athletes, I find that if taping is comfortable and helpful, we do it. Many times, even routinely. If we see that taping is not comfortable, then we might want to look at an ankle brace. If we've had lateral ankle instability in the history, then you really want to get at the cause. What's going on? And we've had great success with orthotics being included. If foot mechanics are contributing to the ankle instability, orthotics will be extremely helpful and routine strengthening. It's one of the reasons why in my book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, one of my chapters is called Two Essential Exercises. Strengthen the feet and ankles with rubber bands, work on balance. Two very, very key exercise concepts, not to replace everything else, but to be included for your son or daughter, no matter what their age, no matter what sport they play, and no matter what their level is. I don't care how much they bench press. I want to see if they can balance on one foot while they're standing or doing a partial squat. We want to add that routine strengthening of feet and ankles. This is very, very important. If we have time, I had somebody ask about the prodigy sports. It's another chapter in Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Think of gymnastics. Think of figure skating. Think of ballet, tennis, and soccer. We tell these kids all day, we want you to play other sports. We don't want you to specialize very early. But sometimes you're like barking up the wrong tree. When I have young figure skaters, you know, Evan Lysacek, the 2010 men's Olympic figure skating gold medalist, grew up in Naperville, Illinois. He was 10 years old when I put orthotics in his skates. He wasn't playing or doing any other sports. He wasn't interested. This is the same today. I'm still putting orthotics in 10-year-old skates. And many of these kids or young tennis players, 11, 12, 13 years old, they're playing club tennis 5-6 days a week. They don't want to play other sports. So for these prodigy-type athletes, once we get exhausted trying to ask them to play other sports, we start talking about the importance of getting under the tutelage of a good physical therapist, a good personal trainer, to strengthen that body to try to prevent these so-called repetitive motion injuries. We are out of time. I want to thank my guest, Bob Esty, my son, Adam Weil, for joining me. We'll catch everybody next week, another edition of The Sports Doctor. Thanks, everybody.